Welcome back, everyone. We're Simply Bitcoin. We break down the news from Twitter, the Daily Fail, meme review, software releases, hardware releases, and the websites by plebs. All right, we're diving into the numbers. Let's do it.
Number time!
Number time is brought to you by Bitcoin 2022. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference ever in sunny Miami Beach. President Bukele just announced that he was going to speak there and take advantage of the link down below today for Cyber Monday.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 711,726. The Bitcoin price, 56,690. Chain rewrite days, 767. Total public lightning capacity, 3,289.7. That's a new all-time high from our last recording, Nico.
Mm-hmm.
Moscow time, 1764. And blocks to the halvening, 128,273.
Nice. Very nice. Did you see that fucking candle up? It was like 30 minutes before we started recording. Bitcoin was dying, and then it didn't die.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, like the last hour and a half to 2 hours, I think that was like an approximately $3,000 candle.
Those are nice. So, those are really nice.
It's just, it's like a heartbeat, you know, it's just like it's a price heartbeat, right? If we're going to look at that, it just lets you know that, hey, all right, yeah, I'm still here.
it made a BART too. Well, it made a BART. Not that it matters, but apparently I saw a lot of people talking about it. It made a BART apparently.
Yeah, no, we're definitely look. So if we're looking at the patterns, right? If we're just looking at the patterns and we're talking, we're definitely seeing some interesting type of patterns that we saw back in 2017, where, you know, you'd see these spikes up and then these drips down and then spikes up, drip down, and then eventually, right, new all-time high. But again, you know, the past is not necessarily predictive of the future. So, but we're definitely seeing some interesting activity. And to me, anyways, I'd like to believe it's accumulation. You know, I'd also like to think that maybe everybody got home from the Thanksgiving festivities and were like, you know what, I'm not going to buy a bunch of useless crap that I'm not going to be able to sell and that I'm going to have to throw out in about a year. And maybe I'm just going to stack sats.
This is true. Who knows? But anyways, Phil... No, it's not Hopium. We've been avoiding the Hopium, and I kind of like it, right? But it is some Glassnode magic. Anyways.
Some Hopium.
It's not Hopium. It's Signal, dude, because there's no price thing here that you could surmise. But anyways.
Signal Hopium.
This is actual signals. This is data, and it's not going to tell you anything. I mean, it tells you a fucked... I think it tells you more than the price, to be honest. But anyways.
It's Hopium.
Sopium, exactly. Number of addresses with a non-zero balance, right? As you can see, you know, this is when Bitcoin started. That's so crazy, dude. In August 30th, 2009, Bitcoin only had 19,000 addresses used. That's insane. Okay, anyways, all right, sorry. Got kind of carried away. But, you know, this just goes up. But the amount of addresses, so there's 38 million in April 27th. And right now, if I could nail the top, but I'm going to get closer, but I don't know if I get, it's 38,800. So we're at an address all-time high, and these are the amount of addresses. This is the number of addresses with a non-zero balance, right? So what you could surmise with this, right, is that this is the growth of the Bitcoin network, right? Because it kind of, you know, and it makes sense because you could see like the addresses peak when the peaks of the price happened and the addresses kind of take a tumble, you know, as the price does its thing, right? So you can kind of surmise from that is essentially the growth and the contraction of the Bitcoin network. And we're at an all-time high for the amount of people using the Bitcoin network, even though we're not quite big, we're not quite at an all-time high with price. So that tells me, Phil, that the Bitcoin network is growing, that more and more people are using it. It kind of makes sense since it just became legal tender in a country. But it's just, man, it's super, super bullish. And I think people get carried away a lot with the price and they forget to breathe and take in the hash rate and take in, you know, the amount of nodes on the network and take in the actual growth of the network. You know, they're just so focused on the fiat caca price that if we're right about this inflation thing, I have a feeling that the fiat caca price isn't going to be so important to people anymore. the important thing is how much Bitcoin do you actually possess? How much Bitcoin do you actually have in self-custody? I think that's what people are actually, that's your metric of wealth. It's not the fiat price. Anyways, Phil.
Yeah, the whole time you're talking, all I'm thinking about is that we went shopping this weekend, and I don't remember if it was at Target or the grocery store, but I remember like we bought almost nothing and it came out to like $70. You know, it was like, it was some ridiculous stuff. You know what I mean? Like paper towels and toilet paper, you know, or something like that. And we're like, what? You know, we're definitely seeing a bump in prices. And if people are going to sit there and, you know, just look at Bitcoin in terms of, you know, the number go up, like I think I've explained this before, right? Bitcoin is like, you know, we call it NGU, but it's also number go sideways, right? Because it's really the fiat number that's going up, right? And why is this happening? Like, why is that number going up? Because they keep printing more and more of it. And really what's also, you know, to a certain extent, I'd equate that to a loss of faith.
Yeah.
Like a loss of faith in the dollar, right? That's why they have to print more and more of it. That's why, to a certain extent, that's why you need more and more of it as well. You know, so they print more of it and you lose faith in it. And therefore, it just becomes this part of the snowball effect. I mean, there's way more other factors, but I'm saying in terms of this, I think that that's also what's happening, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that people are slowly waking up to the fact that their money is a scam. I see more and more mainstream, it's more so on the conservative side, unfortunately. I wish it was both on the progressive and on the conservative side, but more people are waking up to this idea of inflation. Holy crap, they're printing money, you know, and those topics are really areas of Bitcoiners, right? Like we were talking about this in January, right? But now you're starting to see an awakening of the mainstream as well, right? They're waking up to the fact that the money's a scam, right?
You sent me that Tucker video.
Exactly.
Where he specifically says, you know, like they're printing the money, you know, and they can't stop printing it.
The Federal Reserve has devalued the US dollar by printing too many US dollars.
Like, I don't think I've heard corporate-owned media say that too often before. And especially coming from, coming from Tucker, right, who has a massive audience, that's pretty huge.
No, it was absolutely crazy. It's funny, too, Phil, because the stuff that he was saying, we were saying that stuff like 6 months ago, like yep. 6 or 7 months ago. And then it's finally hitting mainstream consciousness, this idea of holy crap, are the money that we work for is every day it's worth less and less.
I was downloading conspiracy videos, right, like over 20 years ago, and this is exactly what they were talking about. They were already talking, but the problem was we had nothing.
Yeah.
We had nothing. There was no Bitcoin. There was no way, like, what were you gonna do, right? We've said this before. What are you gonna do? You're gonna have gold?
You're gonna melt. It's like, well, I gotta go to the store. All right, break off a piece of the bar.
Here we go, man.
With
everybody
a little chisel
on their port, right? The chisel, the portable smelter. You know, everybody just has it with them. It's like a backpack thing. You know, it's like this portable smelter, so you could slice off the pieces better. You know, everybody carries their own little scale. Or no, we expect the stores are gonna carry scales, right? But then, how can we trust them? How do we know they're not rigged? How do we know they're not weighted? Anyways, I'm just saying, you know.
It's a bar of gold. It's like, I got to go to the groceries and you get a little chisel like. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Actually, they wouldn't even be weighted. They'd be pushed up. Anyways, they'd be screwing with the scales. You couldn't trust the scales. You'd have to carry your own scale. You'd have your own little mini smelter. You'd have your chisel. I mean, this is the future of money.
You know? I can't. It's honestly, it's a tragedy because the gold bugs were right. They were right. Like, they were right about how broken
the
system
was. They had the wrong
tool. They had the wrong tool, right? It's like gold was never going to work, right? Because the friction is too hard to transport.
It already didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
It already failed, right?
So. It already failed, exactly. So, anyways, interesting observations during the numbers. But anyways, Phil, it's time for...
The Daily Fail. The Daily Fail is brought to you by Amber App. Check them out. Amber.app. It's Bitcoin made easy. It's the easiest way to invest in Bitcoin. You can set up reoccurring purchases for as little as $5 a month. Stack Sats. Check them out. The link is down below. Man, I didn't see yellow at my Thanksgiving get-together or anything like that. I felt lonely. I felt lonely without yellow.
Umber, the smart way to stack Sats.
All right, got a couple of fails. Couple of fails today. We're going to start off with this, though. This was just, I look, you know, in no way am I laughing at somebody else's problem, but at the same time, you just... You really got to wonder about some of the decision making that is going on out there. Let's just take a look at these. This was, by the way, on the Wrecked Plebs group, Telegram. I love this group. Such crazy stuff. All right, let's dive into it. Here we go. Screenshotting, right click and saving, or whatever form of stealing NFTs. No. That's not stealing an NFT. Nobody's stealing that unique hash, bud. That's all yours. Anyways, stealing NFTs, they can find. And not only am I now a right-click victim, people, but even my wife is against me. Well, someone needs a brain between the two of you. Anyways, she left to live with her parents, and she has not been talking about, she has been talking about custody of our two children. Okay, I can't believe this. The love of my life may actually be thinking about divorcing me because she cannot understand the business of the future. I tried to explain it to her. It's not just an image. It's an investment. I buy it for $186K. Someone else buys it from me for $500K. Why? Why are they going to buy it off of you for $500K when they can right-click, save the image, and have the piece that they want? They don't, no one cares about having the unique hash that you can't do anything with, that offers no value, that represents ownership, which means it's not actual ownership. Anyways, before I actually dive into our long tail fail, Nico, any thoughts on this this predicament? Dude. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm going to say it, like, good for the wife, right? She's obviously the one with the, look, she's the one that has the brain. She's the one that's like, yeah, no, I can spot a train wreck miles away, and I want no piece of this train wreck. And you know what? Good for her.
So I was going on YouTube Shorts, which is like their version of Instagram, because YouTube doesn't want to get left behind. And I ran into essentially a short of this lawyer guy, and you know, there's like a lot of these lawyer guys, and they, you know, they do like funky videos. And essentially what he was saying, this isn't legal advice because I'm not a lawyer, but essentially what he was saying is that an NFT isn't protected. So if someone copies your NFT and then sells that image, because it's not actually copyrighted, you could sell it. Right? It's not yours, right? You have to copyright the actual image to own the actual rights of that said image. So I thought that was absolutely fucking hilarious. So not only could someone just copy, right click, save, right? They could sell that right click, save, because you don't actually own the rights to it unless you go through the traditional way of, you know, registering that, you know, establishing a copyright and all that jazz. So again, I have a feel like these people are like, not only are they just buying hash, whatever, I forget what the actual word for that is, Phil, but dude, they're not even buying the copyright to those said images. So what are you fucking buying? What are you just buying hashes, I guess. Like
that's
literally what you're buying, right? So it's like you buy worthless hashes or you buy Bitcoin, right? So like that's the choice that you have in front of you. And now I want to go back to this idea of, dude, this is why we need to migrate to a fucking SAT standard already. This is fucking why. Because people don't feel good buying Bitcoin. And that's a fact, because you're buying 0.000 something. And the psychology of that is extremely strong. You can't deny it. If we move to a SAT standard, bro, you buy 0.01 of a Bitcoin, you buy a million SATs. That fucking feels good, Phil. That fucking feels good. Or 0.01. 0.1 is 10 million SATs. So, dude, anyways, Phil.
But you can already have sats on Cash App, you know, like and stuff like that. I mean, I get the whole moving to the sat standard and everything, but you can already see pretty much almost, you know, everything in terms of sats.
But you're talking to someone who's a Bitcoin already, dude.
I know. It's brutal. Like, it's the echo chamber.
I'm talking about like Coinbase and all those fucking exchanges.
Yes.
Because you go there and you buy Bitcoin and you're like 0.00 something. And it's like, why don't I just buy ETH?
It's not sats.
And I can get more of an ETH. Like, why would I own Bitcoin if I can get something of an ETH? And I bet you the ETH guys are going to they're going to come up with their own version of sat. Just wait and see. Anyways.
Okay, here we go. Let's get into the next fail. We're having too much fun here. We're having too much fun with the shitcoining. And just wait, the fun's not over. Because here we go. They should probably rename the token to Snowjob instead of Snowbank. Anyways, yeah, for Northerners, right? Or, I mean, anybody who's ever seen any kind of movie that takes place in the snow, you know what a snowjob is, right? And people just stuff a whole bunch of snow in your face till you can't breathe anymore. And if you're around a whole bunch of savages, they'll do it till you bleed. Yeah, it's good time. Snowjob. Okay, so, let's take a look at this. What do we got? At DCF God. Oh my God, the love for Snowbank just turned to pure rage. Honestly, bad project. Let's look at that, right? Let's take a look. So, it was doing great. For some reason, $2,700, and then it just all of a sudden sank like a stone and kept going. All right. What happened? What happened to Snowbank, right? What happened to Snowbank, Snowdog? These ideas just keep getting worse and worse. But Nico, like you said, the names are great. Snowbank, right? It makes me think of that Family Guy episode where he always says Roadhouse. Snowbank. Anyways, I just want to go and kick somebody, right? You kick somebody and then you say Snowbank. Okay, anyways, here we go. Getting serious. Focusing here. All right. Snowdog, present and future. Yesterday's event, right? That chart we just showed you with the tanking and the going to nothing. Okay. Yesterday's event marked the ending of the 8 days game theory experiment around Snowdog. Oh, pretty sure the people that bought in didn't realize how much of an experiment they were a part of, but I'm sure they did, right? Because, you know, they made it clear, but nobody thinks that they're going to be stuck holding the bag. Anyways. It's a decentralized reserve meme coin. The scheduled buyback and anticipated massive sell-off retained attention from countless communities, creating joy and deception as holders who chose to wait for the buyback to sell their S-Dog competed to be the fastest. Okay, so essentially what they were doing was that they were issuing, you could sell your bags before the company does this buyback. Or you could wait till the buyback and essentially dump your coin at that point when they're buying them back. But, you know, you'd imagine that if everybody's doing that, the price is going to dump. Like, they called this an experiment. This is not an experiment, right? A pump and dump is not an experiment. We already know how that works. Anyways, yeah, this is insane, man. I can't believe people fell for this crap. This is so stupid. Here we go. Snowdog, an 8 days game theory experiment. From the start, we made Snowdog rules and purpose extremely clear. Snowdog was an 8 day experiment that would end with a giant buyback financed by every asset acquired by the treasury through mint sales. Phase two would be about establishing S-Dog as the meme coin for Avalanche. Remember I told you about Avalanche Chain? That was a fail already a couple of weeks ago because they had something else. I don't remember what shitcoin died on that chain. So this is just another shitcoin that dies on that chain. Okay, so here we go. We developed this new game theory experiment to create awareness for Snowbank and launch a meme coin in a network that didn't have one yet. Wait, what? So that's it. So this is the whole thing. They're going to launch a meme coin in a network that didn't have a meme coin yet. This is the whole use case. This is why it should be money. Oh, okay. But was demonstrated a huge potential for onboarding new crypto users. We believe that the combination of a decentralized reserve meme coin that would die after 8 days with the perspective of a giant buyback would create interest and bring exposure to the Snowbank project. The word decentralized is just a word at this point. Because if a small group of people or one person can go and perpetrate this type of behavior in something, that there's no decentralization whatsoever. Mm. Anyways. Yeah, here we go. Let's keep going. The pinnacle of the experiment was definitely the giant buyback. Let's go back over here. Definitely the giant buyback. Yes. All right. Holders had to choose between selling before the buyback at an inflated market price or competing during the buyback with other sellers. So you had a choice whether to dump your bags before everyone knew for a fact they had to dump their bags. This is a very interesting experiment. We wanted to orchestrate an event that could capture the attention of the shitcoin ecosystem while procuring entertainment to people watching it from the sidelines. This would be an epic finale, as almost every S-Dog holder would want to sell at the same time. For the S-Dog price to be above market price before the buyback, sellers needed their S-Dog to be part of the first 7% of the supply being sold. Who do you think was part of that 7% supply being sold, the people who sold above the price? Then we opened the website, and in a matter of seconds, transactions started going through as S-Dog holders competed to sell at the highest price. In 15 seconds, 1,576 S-Dog was already swapped for MIM. 36 seconds after the front-end reveal, S-Dog market price was already lower than the market price before the buyback. Okay? So that tells you, not even a minute later, it was impossible to get the going price for this shitcoin, and it would just keep going down. Anyways, we understand that the buyback experience created frustration, as only 7% of the supply holders would benefit from a price superior to the market price before the buyback. We deeply regret not having communicated more on this. But check this out. This is the best part. But not selling wasn't a bad decision. You got to make your bag holders feel okay, right? Because in this wonderful, inclusive, happy unicorn shitcoin world, everyone has a medal and everyone has a special pin. Yay! I'm not just a bag holder. I'm a special bag holder. Mm. All right, here we go. There are exciting milestones coming up, Nico, for Snowdog. Check this out. Boom, here we go. Here come the words. Check this out. This was my favorite part of the whole article. It wrapped it up for me. Long-term value, LTV. Boom. All right, here we go. Dropped it. LTV. All right. Token split operation to increase the supply to one many, many zeros. I'm pretty sure that's a trillion. But anyways, boom. Everyone gets coin. That's how we fix the problem. Long-term value. Okay, wait. We have some ideas to share with community. With community. Not with the community. With community. To provide more utility to token and attract more users into our DAO. So as he's running to the frickin' metro, right? Or to catch his Uber. He's frickin' typing this shit out. Okay, and he's constricted by the words. Like that's what I'm getting here. I'm sorry.
Okay, we have a character limit. We have a character limit.
We just don't get it out
we
there.
We can cut out the
we're providing more utility to token. More utility to token. Anyways, we will add, this is magic right here, Nico. We will add back the liquidity to Trader Joe.
Who's Trader Joe?
Joe, come on, man. You don't know Trader Joe. We know him. He sells the fruits, the vegetables, the discount price. Trader Joe's.
Oh, Trader Joe's. I love Trader Joe's.
Dude, what is that? I don't even know what to say. Okay, wait. We are going to go full speed into building Snowbank into a massive project. We have huge plans for Snowbank. This really gives me the warm and fuzzies. I could tell you if I had thousands of dollars in this, especially like my family's wealth, maybe my kids' college, I'd be thrilled. I'd be so excited just because I know they've got huge plans for Snowbank, right? They're going full speed. All right, here we go. Going forward, we recognize that Snowdog created confusion and misalignment around what the priority is for Snowbank. A huge part of why we are doing this is because of our amazing community. That's right. You lost your shirt because of how amazing you are. So while you're holding this bag and you're going to sleep broke as shit, just remember, you're awesome. That counts. All right. We are about to engage in active discussions with promising team members for future project development, Nico. We received, this is good right here, we received 500 plus applications to Snowbank Labs from top tier contributors all around the world. Ah, the partnership parade. Confidence. I like it. I like it. Here we go. Despite the deception around Snowdog's setback, we're growing at an impressive rate. Snowbank Treasury is currently sitting at $40 million that we ripped off from our bag holders in reserve funds. This will fuel long-term sustainability and keep the lights on for Snowbank. Snowies, Snowdoggers, we all gonna make it. No, no, you're not. Very, very small portion of you are gonna make it because you ripped off a much larger portion of you.
Mm-hmm.
And there you have it, Nico. The snow dog, the snowbank that became a snow job.
Man, it sounds like the snow dog got stuck in the avalanche. So, yeah,
that's
I mean,
that's the kind of joke I would make or my dad would make. I'm proud of you. That's nice.
Boom! But yeah, man, look, this is just so freaking stupid. And you know what? I had an observation there because you were like saying all this technical. Here's the thing. It's not technical shit, but it's supposed to sound technical so that you don't understand it. Right. That's literally what it's about. And I kind of made a connection in the traditional finance world. That's exactly what they do, too, bro. Right. So it's like, dude. And the example that I want to give is like, remember in before 2008, no one fucking knew what a mortgage backed security fucking was. OK, that fucking name. Right. They could have come up with an easier name. They could have come up with an easier explanation, but then you would understand it.
Bingo. So
it's like as if they make these things. I know the shit corners do this. I don't know enough about traditional finance. My suspicion is that it's like as if they make these things more technical so that you don't fucking understand them. And I know finance doesn't need to be that fucking complicated or technical because look at Bitcoin, right? It's like, yeah, like, I guess, you know what? I guess, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Phil?
Okay, so because you know that I used to buy stocks, like I can tell you they absolutely use that in traditional finance, right? Credit default swaps, right? And it was so funny. I remember there was a video where somebody, they got a whole bunch of different people to try to explain credit default swaps and they could not do it properly because it's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
It's just bullshit at the end of the day. Look, at the end of the day, all you need to know is this. We took a bunch of really bad loans, we packaged them with really good loans, and then we told you that the product was AAA. Mm-hmm. And then we told all of our paid mouthpieces, okay, that are incentivized, we told them, hey, this is AAA stuff.
Yep.
And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody repeated it.
Dude, it's such a fucking clown show. And the more we do these fails, Phil, it's just the similarities between fiat and the shitcoin world are striking, dude. They're striking. It's like the culture is similar. I feel like shitcoins is like fiat culture times 1,000. That's honestly what it feels like, right? But it's so funny. And you know what? I do take it back because quantitative easing, like, printing money, right? Like, but it's like, man, they have to make it sound technical so that the average person, again, you know, Phil, you have your thoughts. I don't know enough. I went straight to Bitcoin. I skipped all of that shit. But man, it's just, it sounds like I'm suspicious. That's what you have to say. I'm awfully suspicious.
We're wicked suspicious because it's scammy. Like it's so scammy. I remember, man, like even when I first, you know, even when I first got into it, right? Like my parents are not investors, right? Like I come from like a family of workers. Like, you know, my father was one of those people who went and like bought like gold stock and like got scammed and was like immediately like, all right, I'm never touching investments ever again. Not realizing he had not gone to an investment, you know, like that was just a pump and dump penny scam, you know, mm-hmm. penny stock scam. And like, yeah, you know, like coming from that background and having to essentially learn this all on my own, like I realized that, you know, there's a lot of financial magicians, right? Like that's really what they are. They are financial magicians. And that's why they have to wear the suit. That's why it has to look important. That's why it has to look complex. Because if I sat there and told you, right, if I came up to you looking the way that I do and I told you, look, all you need to do is buy these companies because guess what? Every guy is going to continue to shave till the end of time. you could just buy Procter & Gamble and keep reinvesting your dividend. And you can do that for 15 years, and you probably won't have to work anymore after a while. If somebody actually told you that, where would all these jobs come from, right? Where would all of these businesses come from, you know, like leveraging, leveraging derivatives and risk and all of this stuff? Like, all of it is hocus pocus. It's all hocus pocus made to look complicated so that you stay out and the financial magicians can continue to pull one rabbit hat out, one rabbit out of the hat out after another.
Fucking sounds that way, bro. It fucking sounds that way. It really, really does. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily Meme Review. The Daily Meme Review is brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. It's different artwork per volume, has really cool stories, articles by Bitcoiners. Get yourself a copy. They're scarce. There's only 1,000 made per volume. Citadel 21 today. All right. First meme for the meme review is brought to us by the legendary Spinte. First one, 54,000. Hold. It's from the Braveheart movie. 500,000. Hold. 250,000. I don't get it, but it looks cool.
Bullish.
Bullish. Okay, next one. Brought to us by the Meme Tards. No coiners losing money through inflation. Mm-hmm. Step on a rake.
Accurate.
Shit coiners getting wrecked on pump and dump scams. Kick flip. Rake.
I got that one.
It could be.
Could be kick flip, pop shove it. Just saying.
It looks like
we don't know. We don't know what's happening, right?
It looks like a pop shove it because it's rotating. It's not.
But it could also be flipping. So is it a varial flip? We don't know.
It's true. It could be a varial flip too. Okay. Anyways, moving on. Next one is brought to us by 4and_12 plebs succumb to a slave central banks. Bitcoin RPG. No. Okay. Next one. Okay, so this one kind of has a backstory. I really suggest watching this video. I can't play it because it's from someone else's show. But anyways, the video is essentially Christine Lagarde going on the Dave Rubenstein show. And Dave Rubenstein actually questions her and says, what do you think about Bitcoin? Because essentially it was just made legal tender in another country. And Christine Lagarde literally has a panic attack. She pauses for 2 seconds and she goes, and you could tell she was angry. Bitcoin and shitcoins are not currencies. Full stop. Well, Christine Lagarde, here's the thing. Central bankers and governments do not get to decide what is and what is not a currency. The free market does. Do you think the people living through inflation in Turkey and Venezuela give 2 fucks what the central bank, what the government has to say, what is and what is not a currency? No, they care about putting food on the table, which means they're going to fluctuate to the strongest currency, regardless of whether what you have to say. And anyways, this was her reaction. She was struck. I really recommend the video. But anyways, thank you, Corey. The next one, RD, and I think RD really nailed it on this one. It's afraid, and it's her face from the video. And that's what I got. She was terrified. I've never seen her that scared before. Like, you could tell she was struck behind. I don't think she was expecting that question, and it just came out of nowhere. It hit her, and dude, you could tell that she was angry. But anyways, mm-hmm. Phil, for that, I'm going to give it this BTC Sessions. Shout out to the great YouTube channel, by the way. Definitely subscribe. But anyways, I'm going to give it this BTC Pins magnet. It's instead of the MTV, it's the BTC. Anyways, what about you, Phil?
Nice, nice. Taking us back, Nico. Taking us back. All right. I am going to give it this very amazing and trusty hand exerciser thingy. Gotta love these. Hand wrist exerciser.
I already gave it that.
Well, you may have given it that, but I never gave it that. And does yours have the torque? Does yours have the torque screw?
It's not a hand exerciser without the torque screw.
I mean, it's useless without the torque screw, but I've seen people have one without one, and I'm like, really? What's the point?
Those are shitcoin hand exercisers. Yeah. Those are. They try to proof of stake it. Yeah. And with the hands, it's proof of work, you know?
Yeah, this is definitely low time preference hand exercising.
Yep. I agree. Makes your clamping stronger. in case you're hanging over a wall, hanging or something. Anyways, guys, do you agree with our scores? Do you disagree? Let us know down in the comment section and join our Telegram group. Link us a Bitcoin memes to review because of Bitcoin meme review. We need memes to review. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the daily news. The Daily News is brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. Get yourself the best 3D printed merch, like the 3D printed Bitcoin grenade art. Look, it unscrews. You could put your favorite hardware wallet in there. And the 3D printed Bitcoin Honey Badger. You could also put your Honey Badger. So many places to put your Honey Badger. Anyways, take advantage of the link down below for 5% off CryptoCloaks.com. So, while everyone thought Bitcoin was dead, this is the fucking president of a country, and he wants to let you know he bought the dip. Extra 100 extra coins acquired with a discount. Now, let's see what the financial world thought about this. Let's check out Bloomberg. El Salvador bought the dip, acquiring. I love how they quoted it. They don't even know what, like, I feel like they don't even know how to deal. They don't even know how to deal with it. It's like, oh, he didn't come through us. He went directly on Twitter to tell all his people. They can't do that. Anyways, So now El Salvador has a total of 1,100 Bitcoins, absolutely awesome, as of October 27th. But they want to let you know, the country's debt is worst in the world after Lebanon this month. Well, you know what country isn't experiencing inflation? El Salvador. I mean, they are using the dollar, they use Bitcoin, to be fair. Okay, and anyways, maybe you could see that as a signal. Maybe you could kind of see that as Nayib Bukele is trying to distract that his country's in debt and he's trying to essentially get out of it using Bitcoin. Who knows? But anyways, the signal here is that El Salvador now owns 1,100 Bitcoin, and the signal is also that Nayib Bukele is buying Bitcoin on Twitter and he's telling everyone to know about it. He's not buying it on Bitcoin, but he's letting the whole world know. I think he's actually using River, to be honest. Anyways, I don't know that for sure. But moving on. This is a big slap in the face, right? When you have a president of a country doing this, is a big slap in the face to the legacy financial world, right? And they, you know, we reported last week, it was the Bank of England and the World Economic Forum on the, sorry, not the World Economic, that was a Freudian slip, the IMF, both on the same week, right, kind of reacting to El Salvador's move to do the Bitcoin bonds, right, the volcano Bitcoin bonds. And the Bank of England also commented, well, let's talk a little bit about the Bank of England, and let's read Nayib Bukele's tweet first, right? The Bank of England is worried about El Salvador's adoption of Bitcoin. Really? I guess Bank of England's interest in the well-being of our people is genuine, right? I mean, they have always cared about our people. Always. Gotta love the Bank of England. And I think Nayib Bukele is spot on here when he says this. Like, is the Bank of England commenting about the inflation that's happening in Turkey? Are they? They don't give a shit. But they give a shit about Bitcoin. Why? Because it's a threat to them. So they have to comment about that. But anyways, and I think I'm going to go back to this Christine Lagarde, facial expression, right? This is they don't know how to react to Bitcoin, right? These central bankers, they built themselves a regulatory moat because they thought they would be, they thought they essentially captured the regulators. And now Bitcoin, it's because it's decentralized in its way, it can't be regulated the way that they're used to regulating things, and they don't know what to do about it. Anyways, so let's talk a little bit about the Bank of England, shall we? And you gotta love the plebs, because the plebs, and this is why Twitter's so useful in this information war, right? Whether it's the IMF making bullshit, you know, statements and announcements, you have the plebs down in the bottom, right? And we have this shitcoiner, Crypto Lemmy, right? Essentially just putting out facts, right? The good old Bank of England, and it links to this article, and let me pull it up. Bank of England helped in sale of looted gold, right? I can't say that word, but you guys can definitely see it. Looted fascist gold, I'll just say that. Anyways, the Bank of England helped in the sale of gold stolen by the Germans in the 40s after the 1939 invasion of Czechoslovakia. A document from 1950 shows the gold bars were sold by the Bank of England on behalf of German Central Reichsbank. And I might add, that a lot of this gold came from the Jews. They stole it and then they sold it. Okay. So it looks like the Bank of England didn't give a shit about that. Okay, to be fair, this happened back in 1939, but I think it really highlights the morality of these central bankers. And something that happened in recent past, or, you know, I guess a decade ago, maybe it's not so recent, but, you know, the what comes to mind, Phil, is, you know, the financial crisis, right? None of those, it was only Iceland where bankers actually paid, right? They actually went to jail, and this was only because of WikiLeaks, right? So, but in the United States and in Europe, none of the bankers that caused the financial crisis in the first place actually paid a price. They were bailed out by Main Street, and the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. Satoshi knew this, right? That's literally when Bitcoin started, around that time, January 3rd, 2009, right? So again, dude, like, I don't fucking care what the Bank of England has to say. Like, man, they're fucked up evil people. I pulled up an example from the past. They've been doing shady shit in the past, right? And I pulled an example in the present. And what was crazy is that at that time, I think it was before they went to war, but there was definitely, like, the public relations between the countries weren't exactly so good, but the central bankers didn't give a fuck, right? This is the type of people, caliber of people they are. They're not exactly good people, right? But Bitcoin fixes this, and they're having a meltdown because of it, and it's absolutely glorious to see. Phil?
You know, it's interesting, right? In life, you know, we're taught to care about, you know, our families and, you know, our friends, or, you know, like people that share the same beliefs as us, or, you know, all of that good stuff. I think that what people don't understand about central bankers, okay, is that none of these things matter, okay? The only thing that matters, like, look, they understood exactly where that gold was coming from. They could have actually done the right thing and said, no, you know what? We are not going to help you do this. This is wrong. But you know what's going to happen, right? If they don't do it, someone else will. Because that's what exactly a human being is, and that's what the incentives are. So, you know what? They're just part of the rot. They're part of the scumbags, like everybody else. And again, we don't want to evangelize Nayib Bukele, you know, too much, or in any way, shape, or form. You know, like, look, he's a politician at the end of the day, like all other politicians. So we still need to, you know, hold up our guards and scrutinize everything that's going on. But the Bank of England, they really, you know, it's like you should keep your mouth shut, you know, because you guys are part of the team right now that's actually oppressing freedom and that's causing a lot of the problems and that has helped facilitate a lot of the issues that we are living through today, you know, with our monetary problems.
Absolutely. So. And I absolutely, Phil, and I know what a lot of you guys are thinking, right? You know, that article was super hyperbolic, that happened back in, you know, the 30s. What does that have to do with Bitcoin? Well, I pulled it up for a reason. Check this out, Phil. Bitcoin users, be prepared, and this is a tweet by Alex Gladstein. Bitcoin users, be prepared to be labeled fascists for choosing to opt into an inherently anti-fascist and open currency by the mainstream economic orthodoxy, which ironically views increasingly centralized control and surveillance as the only way forward for the monetary system. Now, I wanted you guys to remember this part.
We said this weeks ago, by the way.
So that I could pull this up. Bank of England helped in sale of looted fascist gold. But... not, and we did say this weeks ago, but yeah. Remember this as the Bitcoin market cap continues to grow and they lose more and more and more control. Be prepared not only to be called a fascist, but also an economic terrorist for choosing mm-hmm. to opt out of their system. Be prepared. But anyways, I want to pivot a little bit and more to what's going on with Bitcoin. Anyways, government to table bill on Bitcoin and shitcoin and seek ban on private cryptos with exemption. So this is India, and again, they're looking to block or ban Bitcoin for the 50th time, right?
Oh my God, no way.
Again, you know, this is noise. I mean, it isn't noise. It is signal. Yeah. Like, look, this is what's happening in India. But this is the part that I want you guys to pay attention to, because this is very similar rhetoric than what we're seeing in the West. All private cryptos. They're trying to let you know that central bank money is public money, even though it's privately issued. You don't know the supply. You don't know whatever. And if you contrast that with Bitcoin, not shitcoins, right? With Bitcoin, Bitcoin is an open ledger. Everyone is allowed to create Bitcoin as long as you pay for the infrastructure, the miners, the electricity, and you're allowed to create it just like everybody else. Now contrast that with central bank money. Central bank money is the privately issued money. Central bank money is the private currency. But again, this is the rhetoric. This is what they want you to believe, that Bitcoin and shitcoins, specifically Bitcoin, is the private currency. And that's bullshit. And you see the same rhetoric from the person that's about to be appointed as the head of the Office of the Comptroller here in the U.S., Saola Morava, the communist, right? She's also using that wording, private currency, private crypto, right? That's also what she's using. So now you have a country on the other side of the planet, if you live in the U.S., using the same words, right? And that's not a coincidence. Anyways, moving on. So while India, apparently, the government at least is going to have fun staying poor. I'm sure, you know, we had Pakadil India. He's using Bitcoin, right? So it's not all Indians, but, you know, apparently the government of India is going to have fun staying poor. The country of Tonga is moving forward to make Bitcoin legal tender. Tongan MP, and this is Lord Fraswita, we had him on the show, plans bill to make Bitcoin legal tender. Lord Fraswita told the Financial Review this week that his bill, Bitcoin bill, will go before Parliament consideration in May next year. A vocal advocate of Bitcoin and shitcoins on social media, the MP, I think he's only an advocate of Bitcoin, but anyways, the MP said a central tenet of Tonga's economy would benefit by making Bitcoin legal tender alongside the existing state currency. He said Tonga was highly dependent, here's the signal, highly dependent on remittances, but that for people to send their earnings back to the country, agencies such as Western Union take up to 30% cut on average, right? And again, Bitcoin fixes this. Now, I want to go back to what you were saying at the beginning, Phil, because I know that this guy has been taking a lot of flack on Twitter because it looks like he could be some sort of totalitarian. And I know that Nayib Bukele, right, he kind of, you know, there's definitely things that you could say are totalitarian. And now I just want to focus on this idea and the reason that I don't talk about this enough, right? And it goes back to a very famous quote by Max Kaiser, is you don't change Bitcoin, Bitcoin changes you, right? So, and there's a reason why, you know, we're not political on the show in the traditional sense, and we don't lean left or right in the fiat politics game, right? And there's a reason for that, right? Again, we just want to get as many people adopting Bitcoin, and Bitcoin has a way of changing people, changing their politics, changing their mentality, because all they're doing is following their own incentives, right? So again, I would want to see, you know, Tonga hopefully adopt Bitcoin. And again, the politics over time are going to sort themselves out as people empower themselves rather than empowering the state. Because when you use the state's money, you're empowering the state. When you use Bitcoin, when you're opting out of the state's money, you're empowering yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not so concerned about the traditional politics. I'm not so concerned about the totalitarianism. You know, obviously it would be, you know, if they started committing crimes, but I haven't heard, you know, Tonga or El Salvador committing any crazy crimes. So I'm not really concerned about that. I'm more so concerned about countries adopting Bitcoin, and then Bitcoin over time, you'll see that it will fix the political systems in those countries, because Bitcoin has a way of fixing things. Anyways, Phil, am I crazy to say that? Anyways.
No, man, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's objective. And hey, look, you know, I mean, look, we both see a lot of stuff on Twitter, right? We see a lot of these battles, and I definitely have seen, the Lord Fasichua, I can't pronounce his name. We've seen him take a lot of flack from a lot of Bitcoiners, but it mostly has to do with the thing that we cannot speak of. anyways, you know, that aside, I do agree that it definitely changes people based on their incentives. I'd like to believe that as a result, right, as a result of people becoming more low time preference, that, you know, their behavior also ends up showing as much. And when you tend to make more long-term decisions, you tend to make less stupid, painful short-term decisions, you know? So anyways, you know, the other thing that's kind of off topic, but a little bit related to, because we were talking about, you know, Venezuela and Nayib Bukele, there's another piece of, you know, something else I heard recently on Spaces, you know, people talking about what the Bitcoin bond is backed by. So we're going to do some digging also to figure it out, because again, right, like we said, like we don't want to, you know, like we are about people increasing the use of Bitcoin. We are about more people learning to opt out of slave money. Right?
It's backed by half of it is backed by Bitcoin and half of it is backed by mining.
So I'm also, and again, I don't know about the FUD, right? I'm hearing the magic T word, Tether. I'm going to do some digging into it, see what I can find as well. We'll see if we can pull something together, you know, because I hate, you know, it's something that I really don't enjoy is fear mongering, right?
That's actually a great transition
for the sake of being a concern troll.
That's okay. A great transition. You brought up the T word, which is Tether.
Uh-oh.
And let me end it with this, U.S. Senate Banking Committee seeks answers on Tether stablecoin, requesting immediate information about their backings, redemption, and activities. Now, and you know, it's a whole letter. And let me kind of give some context, right? This came out the same week that the Bitcoin bond came out, and all of a sudden, the U.S. Senate wants to know what's going on with Tether.
Okay.
Now, who is behind the Bitcoin bond? The Bitcoin bond is backed by this company called Bitfinex. And Bitfinex is actually the same company that actually does Tether, right? It's the same company. So
now we get the relationship.
Now, here's the thing, right? Do I think Tether is kosher? Absolutely fucking not, okay? Some shady shit is happening there. That's my opinion, okay? I've been in the space for a while. I know, Phil, you've been in the space for a while. You start to see things and you're like, what's going on here? Now, but here's the thing, right? Do I think it's a coincidence that the U.S. Senate wants to investigate, you know, Tether? Because that's the weak link, right? That's what you want to attack. You don't want to attack the strong, the exchange, is well funded, whatever. You want to attack the thing that you could say it's a scam. Okay, but if Tether is a scam, what is fiat? Aren't they doing the same thing? Let's say Tether, because we don't know. That's the thing. We don't know, right? I don't know if Tether is backed. It's definitely not backed one-to-one. I know that I think they did some disclosures, it was like it was partially backed, and then it was backed by Bitcoin and shitcoins, and then it was backed by securities. It's some really shady stuff. But what the fuck is the dollar backed by? Right? And then a lot of the fiat people would be like, oh, it's backed by the full faith of the U.S. government. Well, it's like, bro, really? You know, so I don't know, dude, but listen. Here's the thing, right? And a lot of the Tether funds FUD stems from this, right? Which is, let's say they shut it down, because they could. It's centralized, right? Like there's definitely something to attack there. There's definitely a head to chop off there, metaphorically, of course, right? So, but let's say, you know, it does get shut down. Let's say whatever. Okay, let's say it gets shut down, right? What happens, right? People start selling off Tether. Where does that sell off go to?
Who do they sell the Tether to?
Yep, exactly. But if they but think about it. If you sell Tether, what do you sell it into?
You sell it into Bitcoin.
There you go. That's what I'm trying to say.
But who are you selling it to?
Well, I
if
mean,
no one's buying it.
So is it? Are we speculating about a Tether collapse? Right.
And then I know, but the Tether collapse FUD. I mean, look, okay, so hold on a second. So let's back up, right? On the Tether collapse.
Let's riff about this a little bit.
Okay, yeah,
I think
exactly.
A lot of people are thinking about this.
We've both thought about this for a while anyways, and I remember reading the Tether FUD when I first came into 2017, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Bitcoin's a scam. This Tether thing can blow it up. Anyways, that's not even close, okay? They're not even... People create this really overarching narrative, okay? But the truth of the matter is that Tether needs Bitcoin. Bitcoin doesn't need Tether. Bitcoin existed before Tether. No one gives a shit. This is a total, it's a complete fabrication. So for me, I think the Tether FUD is fantastic for stacking sats. I think it's amazing. It's amazing for fleecing noobs and scaring them out of their Bitcoin. But I think that that's all it is at the end of the day. And I do think they're shady. Again, I don't have any evidence myself that they are shady. But just from everything that I've seen, I think they're doing what they have to do to maintain what they currently have.
In what sense?
They kind of do have this moat, right? In a way, they kind of have this moat that the other shitty stable coins, for some reason, even though everything's a giant, even though they're all garbage, for some reason, the other stable coins haven't been able to really, I'd say, I don't know if it's like garner the respect, if that's even a right way to say it. The respect is probably not the right word, but like attention that Tether has, you know? Like Tether seems to have more of a place than any other stable coin, and yet it's just a shady and just a scammy. I mean, they tell you that it's backed almost one for one, but you never get specifics.
But it's funny. It's like, what is it backed by? Shit. That's what I'm saying. It's backed by shit, right? So again, like,
it's backed by something losing value.
Exactly. So look, we don't know if Tether's backed, right? Definitely shady. Okay, those are our gut feelings. We don't have any fucking evidence, but right, the government, specifically the U.S. government, is definitely going to use it as an attack vector. We told you this months ago. We said governments are going to go after cryptos because they're not sufficiently decentralized, stable coins included, because it's the lowest hanging fruit. And, you know, in a metaphorical sense, there's a head to chop off. There's something, it's a centralized entity which they can go after, right? Bitcoin is the only thing that has sufficient amount of decentralization. If you're a hodler and you're humble and you just stack sats and you just, you know, whatever, does this affect you? No, it does not, right? So anyways, let's see how it develops. I definitely think, Phil, that as Bitcoin continues to grow up in market cap, this is definitely a weak point that they're going to press. They're going to push on this. And you're going to see it in the media. And you're going to see whatever. Right now, it's not so important. Bitcoin sitting at $1 trillion market cap, not that big of a deal. But, right, if Ron Paul is right, if Jack Dorsey is right, if Max Keiser is right, right, as inflation, as fiat continues to collapse, right, what you're going to see is more and more totalitarian responses from governments to try to keep a hold onto their power. And Tether is definitely a weak point which they can attack, because at the end of the day, if you want to sell Bitcoin, what do you sell it to? Most people sell it to Tether, right? So it's definitely an attack point in the crypto trading thing, but it's not an attack point if you're just stacking sats, taking self-custody, and, you know, watching the fireworks, so to speak. But anyways, yeah. Phil, there was an open source software release today. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Software releases. The software releases are brought to you by CipherSafe. Check them out, CipherSafe.io. Store your seed in something fireproof, waterproof, pet-proof, tamper-evident. It's the Cipher Wheel. Check them out. The link is down below. All right, we've got the Simple Bitcoin Wallet version 2.4.19 that was released down below. Check it out.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil. All right, guys, that was our show. If you enjoyed the show, smash that like button. We got a crazy week ahead, but anyways, if you want to continue hearing the Bitcoin news from the flip-flop perspective in the catastrophic fails, definitely consider subscribing, and we'll see you tomorrow, guys, for another episode of Simply Bitcoin.
The central bankers are so scared, Christine's face is completely frozen.
Thank you.